Today is National Aviation Day, a day that marks the birthday of Orville Wright, as in half of the Wright brothers who flew the very first airplane back in 1903, a feat so momentous that astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first man to step on the moon, carried with him a piece of wood and some wing fabric from that Wright brothers' 1903 flyer. But 111 years later, how has flight changed our world? Tom Crouch is senior curator at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. He's with us from WETA in Arlington, Virginia. Tom, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, for people who don't remember their, elementary school or middle school or high school history classes, tell us again about the Wright brothers. Who were these guys from Ohio?
Well, the Wright brothers were really these extraordinary characters. They were intuitive engineering geniuses. Neither of them had ever spent a day in a college classroom, and yet they had an intuitive grasp of how you do engineering, how to push a technology forward. And they made their first flights, powered flights, in 1903. They flew gliders in 1900, 1901, and 1902. And then from those initial powered flights that they made in 1903, they continued to develop the machine. And by the fall of 1905, they had a practical airplane that would stay up as long as you wanted it to and go wherever you wanted it to. So while they stood on the shoulders of giants, they were the inventors of the airplane.
Why did they want to build an airplane back then?
Human flight, the ability to navigate the air, was something that human beings have dreamed of since the first human being saw the first bird, for heaven's sakes. It was the one sort of natural gift in terms of movement that we were denied. And by the end of the 19th century, by 1896 to 1899, when the Wrights were getting involved, a lot of the pieces had fallen into place. There was a lot of information from earlier experimenters. Relatively lightweight internal combustion engines were available. And so it remained for a couple of really extraordinary guys like the Wright brothers to look at the problem, analyze it, and decided how to move forward. And they decided, in fact, to focus on the question of how do you control an airplane in the air. And that question of control proved to be the key to the solution of the manned flight problem.
If you think about it in the context of the rapid development of the internet these days, you got a lot of inventors, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of idealists and dreamers and fortune seekers. You know, we're just beginning to understand how computers are transforming our lives. How do you think flight has changed the world?
Oh, just in extraordinary ways. Obviously, it was the first of a series of weapons that defined the 20th century. It revolutionized commerce, the way in which we travel, the way in which we do business, all of those things that are fairly easy to see. Exploration, it obviously revolutionized exploration. But it, you know, changed us in smaller ways, too. Oh, look at athletics, for example, something you don't normally connect with aviation. But the fact that you had transcontinental and transoceanic aviation meant that you could really have a global athletic system, both with national games and international things like the Olympics and so on. Even religion. For 1 month of the year, King Abdullah Aziz Airport in the Middle East became the busiest airport in the world, a million people passing through it in a short period of time because it was the period of the Hajj. People were flying to get to Mecca. But there were other ways in which it changed this as well. Psychologically, I think it was real important. Before the Wright brothers, people actually did say, you know, if God had wanted us to fly, he would have given us wings. After the Wright brothers, what you heard people saying was, wow, if flesh and blood human beings like me can do that, can build this machine that travels on this invisible, colorless, odorless stuff that we call air, what can't we do? You know, it seemed to open the gates of possibility.
But it also opened the gates of fear. And I think of, you know, the ancient Greeks, the story of Daedalus and his son Icarus, who flew too close to the sun and then fell to his death. And then you think of the people even today who are extremely scared of flying.
Oh, exactly. Technology, aviation technology, like most technologies, you know, is a two-edged sword. The fact that we can fly makes it easier to get medicines and serums and that kind of thing into remote eras where there may be disease spreading. It also makes it easier to spread the disease.
Yeah.
People get on the airplane and take it somewhere else. So Orville Wright lived until 1948. And so he saw World War II and the atomic bomb. And somebody asked him toward the end of his life if he wasn't sorry that he had invented the airplane. And he said, you know, I think about it in the same way that I think about the discovery of fire. Fire has taken millions of lives over the course of history. But when you add it all up, I think it's a much more positive than negative thing.
Although you also have to think about the huge bombing raids that happened from World War I up until now wouldn't have happened.
Today, of course. As I said, the airplane was really the first great defining weapon of the 20th century. It absolutely changed the way in which we thought about war. It redefined the battlefield. A battlefield was no longer a place where armies met one another in combat. Now you could take the war to the enemy's homeland.
Well, and when most people think about airplanes these days, they're thinking about whether they have to pay to check a bag or whether they're going to get more leg room or anything like that. How might it still change the way that we live? What are you looking forward to as the next big thing that aviation can change?
I'm sure that we will have supersonic and hypersonic airliners carrying us to the Far East and Australia. I think in the future, airplanes are going to become much more fuel efficient. They're going to become quieter. They're going to become greener, if you will, spreading less pollution and so on. When you look at the way in which people define the goals for the next generation of airplanes, rather than just being higher, faster, farther anymore, you see that what people are looking at are those other kinds of goals, making it quieter and cleaner and that kind of thing.
When you're on an airplane, do you think you're on a bus, or are you constantly aware of the incredible feat of technology that's going on?
For me, it's not so much when I'm on an airplane, but when I'm on the ground watching an airplane taking off. You have this thing that weighs, you know, a bajillion pounds, and it's made out of steel and aluminum, glass, rubber. It has, you know, maybe 600 souls on board, for heaven's sakes. And this thing is going to run down a runway and climb up into the sky. How do they do that? I can walk to the blackboard and explain the mechanism of flight to you, but when you actually see it happening right in front of your eyes, it's still like magic.
Tom Crouch, Senior Curator at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.